Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Civility here at Car Talk Plaza. Yeah. Read the letter, will you, you jerk?
Well, it's more than civility, actually. This is from Tom Burke, B-O-U-R-Q-U-E.
Bork, I would say.
Bork.
Yeah.
Dear Hoosits.
Rhymes with jork.
Jork. Dear Hoosits. I've just read a bunch of letters sent to you guys, and I noticed that almost without exception, the letter writers insulted you. He noticed that. I think that is mighty rude of them, so I'd like to address a few words to those mean-spirited letter writers. Dear mean-spirited letter writers, just because it's true, do you tell your spouse that he or she is fat and ugly? Just because it's true, do you tell your boss that he's a moron? Just because it's true, do you look at yourself in the mirror and say you must be the most pathetic, worthless human being on the planet? Of course not.
Right.
So why pick on Tom and Ray?
Right.
Right. Just because they are in no position to poison your pancakes, downsize your job out of existence, or force you to commit suicide is no reason to be rude to these ridiculous idiots. Ooh, backhanded here. They deserve to be treated with the same silent contempt as judges and police officers. Save your cruel remarks for those who asked for it. Politicians. Tom and Ray may be stupid and obnoxious, but that is no reason to throw it in their faces. How about a little civility? There, I feel better.
Well, that's very, very kind words.
Thank you, Tom. You're a sweet, sweet man.
Yes, and compassionate and understanding and empathetic.
And a real jerk.
Well, look,
let me get that part again. Get this. Tom and Ray may be stupid and obnoxious.
He didn't say are. Maybe.
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 That's the best we've ever gotten.
Maybe.
You which may be a moron.
Well, it introduces an element of doubt. I feel honored.
That's and like the review we
I
got.
Feel warm and fuzzy now.
Our little bluegrass band played at a benefit one time. And we're not the most accomplished musicians. But
no, we're not.
We're not. But the review we got in the newspaper was that we, quote, weren't half bad. We were thrilled. We thought we were all bad.
I framed that. I have it up on my wall.
So do I.
Not half bad.
Not half bad. He called me up right away. Did you read that?
So well, I think we have made great strides in the last few years. At least we all start at the same time. And we end at the same time. What goes on in the middle is still up for grabs, but you have to take one step at a time.
You've got to take one step at a time, yeah.
And if you have a question about your car, we'll take one step at a time in trying to solve it. Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chuck from McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Chuck.
How you doing?
McKinney.
Yeah.
I have a strange recollection of having been in McKinney. Is that in East Texas?
It's really just north of Dallas.
Is it near the airport?
It's about, it's pretty good ways from the airport, about 40 miles.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
right near the
airport. I mean, in the east, 40 miles is an entire state. You drive 40 miles, you've left the state of Rhode Island for sure.
Oh, in Texas, you drive 40 miles for lunch.
Yeah.
Well, I remember flying into Dallas once, and my memory may be clouded by many years, but being picked up at the airport by somebody and getting on a highway after leaving the airport and driving for what felt like many miles, at which point we stopped to pay a toll. And I was surprised that there was a toll road. And the person driving the car said, "No, we're just leaving the airport parking lot." Is that possible?
Oh, yes, that's possible.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Chuck?
Well, I was driving on one of the roads this last summer, enjoying the Texas heat with the air conditioner on in the car.
Cool.
And at some point, it sounded like a couple of tomcats got in a big fight underneath the hood.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I'd better pull over and stop, raise the hood, and smoke come out from under the hood. Mm. And when it cleared, I could see the belt to the air conditioner was real hot.
Mm.
Metal shavings around the air conditioner compressor.
Many, many dollars.
Yeah,
many
that's what I was
dollars.
Afraid of. I'm sitting there in my suit and wondering how I'm going to get to work.
Yeah.
And I carry a pen knife. So what I did is...
You cut the belt.
It's on a 1985 Grand Marquis with about 122,000 miles on it. So what I did with the penknife is I just cut the belt.
Yeah.
But what I'm worried about is that belt not only drives the air conditioner compressor, but it drives some kind of a air pump that it looks like it blows air into the exhaust manifold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm afraid, what I'm afraid of is what am I doing to the catalytic converter, which is also big bucks, and what is the engine doing by not having that air blown into the exhaust manifold? Am I going to clog the manifold up or burn it up or clog the catalytic converter?
Very good, very good.
Well, geez, first of all, I should say that a lot of cars this vintage had that pump seize years ago and have disconnected it, but illegally. That pump is part of the original emission control system of that car, and it should be hooked up. So you're in violation of federal law, punishable by a $50,000 fine, and this call is being traced.
Oh, actually, this isn't my real name, and I'm calling from Houston.
My guess is the compressor is seized.
Oh, yes. That's what the belt was slipping over a pulley that was not moving.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. And that's why it caught on fire practically. It,
yeah,
it,
and they're making noises like $700, and that's why I've been putting it off.
We can do it a lot cheaper than that.
You can buy a used compressor.
Yeah, $700 right. Means you go out and buy a brand new compressor like from the dealer. However, if you do business with auto recycling centers, you can cut that number down to, I'd say, a third of $700.
Ooh. Yeah, I think you ought to be able to buy a compressor for this thing, a used one, for about $200,
uh-huh.
Or maybe less.
Yeah.
You could even install it yourself and put a new belt on it and the whole bit, and then go to an air conditioner place and ask them to charge it up for you.
What have I done to the car in the meantime?
Nothing.
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
No.
You didn't do any damage to anything, and you do have to fix it. Because you really can't sell it the way it is.
And your car is polluting more because you don't have this thing hooked up, so that's why you should fix it. And if you're going to fix it in 3 months, you might as well fix it this weekend.
Well, probably the air conditioning people are not doing a whole lot here in the winter.
Yeah, they'll probably be happy.
Yeah, maybe you can get a bargain basement price.
Right.
Good luck.
See you, Chuck.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi from Logan, Utah.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi, Logan.
Yes.
That's a famous place.
It's been my lifelong dream to be on Car Talk.
It has.
No kidding. And to get out of Logan.
That too.
That's the second one.
Yes.
How old are you, lifelong?
I am 21. I'm a student at Utah State University.
Utah State University is USU.
USU, yes.
USU. Is that how you, what do you guys call it there? Utah State.
Yeah. Utah State, that's better than USU.
Yeah,
that
I
sounds
would
Japanese.
So.
Yeah, go to USU State. Yeah.
What are you majoring in, Heidi?
I am in electrical engineering.
E, huh?
If you call me an E from USU, I don't know, I might hang up on you.
An E from USU. Now, are you learning anything about electricity there in the electrical engineering program at USU?
Well, not yet, but eventually I hope to.
I mean, have they given you, like, Kirchhoff's laws and Ohm's law, all that? Have you learned all that stuff?
They still
that's in about a week.
I think
in about a week.
Yes.
I think Kirchhoff's laws have been negated. They don't work anymore.
Oh, okay. I'll tell my teacher that. The Car Talk guy has told me.
Yeah, Kirchhoff's laws are bull.
What do you mean? I mean, you're 21 years old. I mean, you should be graduating like tomorrow.
Oh, yes, but I changed my major and got married and did all sorts of other things.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So,
what, from art history to electrical engineering?
No, it was from mathematics to electrical engineering.
No kidding. What is electrical engineering these days?
Well, make computers,
light bulbs,
computers, work for Hewlett-Packard,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, or you could work for Sylvania,
making
redesigning the light bulb.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yes, cool.
All right, we've given you a hard enough time. Maybe we can help you.
Okay, I have this car. It's an '89 Mercury Tracer. I take it on road trips a lot, and I've noticed when I start going up a hill, the check engine light will come on, and a couple times when it started happening, I think, oh, no, my car is going to fall apart. I ought to do something about this. But now I've realized if I just take my foot off the gas for a second and then put my foot back on the gas, the check engine light will go off.
There you go. Okay,
well, thanks for letting us know that. We'll tell the next caller to try the same thing. That's
well,
good.
Well, this would be fine, except when I'm going up a hill, this car doesn't handle hills very well, and I need to get the momentum to go up the hill. But when I take my foot off the gas, I lose all that momentum, and I start crawling up the hills.
I'm going to guess you have 95,000 miles on this thing.
Up a little more.
195,000.
Yeah, you're closer. Yeah.
Closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got about 200,000.
Does it really?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I don't think I'd be too worried. The check engine light doesn't mean that anything is wrong with the engine. What it means is that this is fuel injected, this vehicle, and it has various sensors that are reading certain things that are going on, like the temperature.
Parameters.
Parameters, yes. We'll call them parameters.
Let's call them parameters.
Actually, we can use that with Heidi because she should be familiar with parameters.
Yes, because she's familiar with that, yeah.
Yes. It's reading various engine parameters, and it's determining what the fuel-air mixture should be. Under these different circumstances, for example, if the ambient temperature is this or the coolant temperature is that.
And the throttle is 92% open
and the airflow is this and the airflow temperature is this. And if one of those things, it's also reading the exhaust stream. It's reading what's coming out of the engine as it's burning up the gasoline. And if one of those things is off, it'll turn the check engine light on. So it could be that one of your sensors is out of spec. And the one I suspect is the oxygen sensor, which I know you've never changed.
Kidding?
It may not even exist anymore. We've taken oxygen sensors out that were practically melted.
Yeah.
But you can have the thing scanned. You can take it into your shop if the thing ever visits a shop. And you can have somebody, and somebody can scan it and figure out what's wrong with it.
Will this cost me money?
Yeah.
Everything costs money.
However, you don't have to worry. If the check engine light goes off when you reach the top of the hill, even if you keep the thing floored, by the time you reach the top, the light's going to go off. Is that not true?
It doesn't. No, it stays on until I take my foot off the gas.
It stays on until you take your foot off the gas. When the engine is idling, you're sitting there waiting for class to start, and
right.
You're sitting in the parking lot, and the engine's running. How much does it shake?
Not a whole lot.
I know what the problem is.
Not a whole lot.
When you're climbing a hill, a steep hill, you have your foot on the gas pedal all the way down, and you never do that any other time.
Right.
That's probably
true. I suspect
you
have a bad throttle position switch. That's just a guess.
Oh, that's good.
Throttle position switch.
You might be able to duplicate the check engine light by taking the car on a flat road and flooring it. Of course, you might blow the engine up in doing this.
Yeah.
You might. But I suspect if you floor it on a flat road and open that throttle all the way up, just like you do when you're trying to climb a steep hill, the light will come on then, too.
I'll bet it won't.
$50?
Do I get to hold the money?
What was I betting?
Heidi's going
to... Oh, I was betting that it was not going to... That the light is not going
to
come on.
Heidi, you have to call us next week.
Okay.
Get it on a flat surface.
And go ahead.
Drive it with the wide open throttle for a few seconds, and then if it doesn't do it again for a few seconds until
Fine.
The light comes on.
Put
Keep
it
doing it till the light comes on, Heidi. Keep driving it till the light comes on.
The light won't come on. The light won't come on.
And there's money in this for you, Heidi.
Oh, really? Okay. I'll try that tonight, then.
Call us next week. But I'm guessing the TPS, but my gut feeling is the oxygen sensor. But I have to go with the TPS because there's money on it now.
Fine.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
See you, Heidi.
Thanks a lot. See you
Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And don't listen to that Kirchhoff stuff. You don't need it.
Didn't Kirchhoff's laws have, like, differentials in them?
Oh, I don't think so. Not when you did it.
No.
No.
No, there was a change of current per unit
yeah,
time
maybe.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are definitely differentials in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up.
DIDT. I was current, wasn't it?
T is still time.
T is time. There's definitely DIDT in it.
Isn't
education great?
You know what's even more impressive? How we've retained the stuff after all these years.
I mean, if they brought us back in time, like 50, 60 years, we could invent all this stuff. It has something to do with the IDT, but I don't know what.
If you went back in time 100 years,
you'd be useless.
You'd be hard-pressed to invent a baseball bat.
I wouldn't be able to do anything.
No, you wouldn't.
I could
as
only,
much as you know.
They would lock you up because all you could do is to tell them about all the wonderful things that you have seen, and you'd have no idea.
Well, that's why I believe that time travelers do exist, that there are people from the future that have come back, and they all get locked up as being crackpots because they can't do anything either. They say, You believe we have spaceships that fly around this? They say, oh, yeah. Can you make one? No. What does it look? I can't even draw one. How is it prepared? I don't know. How does it take off? I don't know that. How does it land? I don't know that either.
You press the button.
And you watch it on television. What's that?
And you wish you had paid more attention in that course, but you didn't because you didn't care about it.
Well, I did
pay. And if you went back, you still wouldn't care about it.
No.
I wouldn't.
No, you know what the problem with college education for males is?
Don't get me started on that one.
Well, I just...
Get me started!
College education interferes with your social life. At the time in your life when you're most interested in females, what do? They send you to college. What's even worse is sending you to the Army. I mean, Jesus, talk about cruel and unusual punishment.
Well.
Okay, you're 18, and now you're interested in girls. The zits have cleared up and the whole bit, and now we're going to send you to the Army.
Fort Dix, New Jersey. No. Yeah, or MIT.
Yeah.
Come on, give us a break.
Yeah, no, colleges like MIT are too hard. You don't have any time to develop your social skills, and that's why.
Yeah.
Most of the guys there still have, if you still have zits, they'll admit you. Because they know you're not going to get any girls, right? That's why they want to see you when they do the interview. Oh, you got zits? Okay, you're in.
Okay, you're in.
Okay, look, are you ready for your puzzler hints?
I am as ready as I shall ever be.
All right, if I stuffed this microphone down your throat right now, what would most of our listeners say to me?
They would say, Raymond, you brute!
No, the answer is God bless you. Okay, next hint. You once had to sleep in your garage for 2 months after saying on this very show that your wife looked like a what?
Oh, truck. I remember that very well. I didn't really say
and
that.
So, yeah,
and you had to bring it up?
And so does she. Anyway, the puzzler is about the blessing of a truck, and I'll have the answer in just a minute.
I vaguely remember this.
We've all got wheels, oh, to take ourselves away. We've got the telephone. What we can't say. We've all got higher, oh, and higher every day. Come on, wheels, take this boy away.
And even though the NPR commissioner wonders if we're on performance-decreasing drugs whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This was, I believe, an historic, folkloric, automotive, militaristic, I mean, all the elements, intriguing, woeful.
I vaguely remember it.
Scientific.
Yeah.
Yeah, obfuscated.
There was something about the guy praying over the car.
Well, here
truck.
It is.
Yeah.
Flashback to the summer of 42, the place, North Africa. The British are battling for control there against the Germans and the Italians. In one of the towns under British control, there's an Italian civilian named Tony Cardiello. Tony owns a trucking company, and the British demand that he use his trucks to transport their supplies. Tony refuses. Always willing to compromise, the British seize the trucks and throw Tony into a detention camp. Flash ahead to the late 70s, and there's Edwin, who was the author of this little puzzler. 3 years out of college, doing the only thing a political science grad could do to earn a living.
Working at McDonald's.
He's driving a truck. 1978 was a cold winter, he says, and on many days, the mercury was at minus 20 in the morning. Under those conditions, diesel engines, even the ones that had block heaters that were plugged in all night, didn't want to start. Now, the very same Tony Cardiello was the morning mechanic for this trucking company. He taught the drivers that when a truck wouldn't start, they shouldn't grind the battery down to nothing. They should try it for a few seconds and then leave enough juice for him to help them try again. And when they went crying to him about a truck that wouldn't start, his first question would be, did you bless the truck? When they said, no, we didn't bless the truck, he'd walk over to it, face the bulldog ornament on the hood of the truck, and with
sure.
a certain reverence, he'd make the sign of the cross and say, now you started the truck. And 9 out of 10 times, the thing would start right up. The strange part was that when the drivers tried this themselves, they blessed the truck, hop in, turn the key. It never started. Did Tony have some connection to God forged in his experience in the camp, or had he stored up so much of that North African heat that he was radiating it into the engines. He never let on.
I know the answer.
He just blessed the truck and walked away, sure of his power, saying, "Now you go. Good luck."
I know what it is. Tony was a very heavy drinker. And when he stood in front of that truck and said, "Hey, that the fumes from the Jim Beam that he had been drinking all morning went right into."
It was like starting fluid.
It's like starting, like, just like starting.
Well, you're close.
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
So the X factor here is time. A diesel engine requires or relies on the heat of compression to combust the fuel.
Yes.
So when it's minus 20 and you get out there and you turn the starter and it goes, rah, 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 you're compressing that ice cold air, but not getting it hot enough to start the engine because it won't get the air temperature of that compressed air up to the ignition point of the fuel.
Mm.
And when these guys ran off to find Tony, time went by. And the friction that was inherent in the pistons going up and down in the cylinders had enough time to expand the pistons and the rings enough so that on the second try, the compression would be just enough so the thing would fire up. And that's why nine times out of ten. Exactly. Now, do we have a winner?
The winner this week is Jane Douglas from Carbondale, Colorado. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Jane is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where she can get a CD collection of calls about cars and animals.
They're all animals.
No, not our callers. These are calls about real animals, like that huge dog who liked to ride on the top of his owner's pickup truck. Not in the bed, but on the roof of the cab. We solved that one.
We did?
Yeah. Low-hanging traffic lights.
No!
No, of course not. But we've solved problems involving car-eating horses, giant pythons whose lunches escape into the vents. And don't forget Richard and his goats.
Oh, yeah. The ones that kept Doris from coming around.
That's right. Anyway, you can get the entire animals collection, which is called Doesn't Anybody Screen These Calls? with your gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, Jane. We hope you enjoy it.
Anyway, we have a brand spanking new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Ian, and I'm calling you from Northern Virginia.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, I drive a 1995 Ford Escort with 161,000 miles on it. It's a stick shift, and I found that I have the tendency, I'm originally from northwestern Connecticut, and I'm a thrifty Yankee at heart, so I have the tendency to park on a hill if given the opportunity to, and I'll pop the clutch so that I don't have to cause wear and tear on the starter. Now, I did that the other day in reverse, and a friend of mine saw me do that, and he said, that can't be good for the car. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on that, because I do it about once or twice a week at least when I go to the post office. I'll park on a hill behind the post office so I can do that, but not at work. I can't do it at work because it's a flat parking lot.
Well, you may have to get another job.
It's okay to do it in reverse as long as the car is rolling backwards.
Well, yeah, that's right, and I shift in reverse and so forth, but I'll do it in forward most of the time.
Keep doing it.
Keep doing it, and it's okay?
Keep doing it. Absolutely.
All right, and there's no detrimental effect. It's got the original clutch, by the way.
Yeah, it probably has the original starter motor, too, because
you never used it.
Well, yeah, actually, I knew a guy who had a 1919 Chevrolet, and he always had to park on a hill because the starter did not work, and he never had a problem. But a friend of mine said, look, you know, you're going to cause all sorts of wear and tear on the clutch, plus a lot of other problems. It can't be good for the car.
No, you're not
this guy with the 1919 Chevrolet wouldn't have been like a relative.
No,
just checking.
Well, we had a friend who had no starter in his car. Tony.
Oh, yeah.
And he went for years without a starter, and he always had, luckily he lived on a street that was a hill.
Right.
And so he always had to park so that he was facing down the hill, and he would leave every morning by starting it by popping the clutch.
Right.
And every once in a while he would make the mistake of parking on level ground. Any place else he went, he just left the engine running.
Right.
Hoping that somebody would steal it.
But
no, but what you're doing is perfectly okay. You're not going to hurt anything You know, obviously, I mean, you've got 161,000 miles on a car that was engineered to last 90.
All right, see, I knew I was right. Everyone said I was wrong, and I was right.
We knew
right.
it.
You were right.
See All it. Right, thank you very much.
Thanks for your
good luck. Luck.
Bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Trina from Portland, Oregon.
T-R-I-N-A?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Well, guys, I have a 1974 Volvo 145 wagon, and we just put a new speedometer in that vehicle, my lovely dinosaur. Mm. And all this, we were driving to work the other morning, and all of a sudden, we're just having a nice, calm conversation when the speedometer just made a horrible noise, just... And it would go faster and faster and faster, but the engine wasn't making any difference.
Yeah.
And it would just peg, like at about 70, 80, and then it would just stop. And we'd look at each other, and then we'd get a light, and then we'd go again, and... And the odometer was going as fast as the speedometer, so we can't figure out what's going on.
Well, my guess is, I mean, the speedometer and the odometer basically run off the same cable.
Okay.
So you had a speedometer replaced. This is obviously a used speedometer that you had put in.
Wait. All this happened after you replaced the speedometer, or before?
Yes. Uh-huh. Correct.
Oh, after.
After. Yeah. My husband rebuilt the engine this summer, and then we just had a new speedometer put in. You're right. It's not a brand new one. It is used.
And what was wrong with the old one?
It didn't work at all. We were just kind of guessing by the sound of the transmission how fast we were going.
So he puts in this new speedometer,
mm-hmm.
and it worked okay for a while?
Right.
Does it ever work now correctly? If you get in the car and start driving, does the speedometer work correctly?
Sometimes. Yes, it does.
Well, I'm guessing that whoever did, he didn't do the job himself?
No, he didn't.
He took it someplace. They bought from a junkyard a used instrument cluster.
Yes.
And they put that whole thing in.
Yeah.
Okay,
in all likelihood, and connected it to the cable that was already there. The fact that it worked satisfactorily for a while means that the speedometer head finally broke.
The speedometer head?
Yeah.
Not the cable? Or should I have them check the cable, too?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with the cable.
I don't either.
Because if it sometimes works, that means the cable must be turning.
Yes,
you know.
It does sometimes work, but it doesn't always make the noise. So have them take it back to where we had it put in and have them check the head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have them check your husband's head while he's there. So. What are you doing driving around an old jalopy like this anyway?
Well, it's on its way back to the moon, mile-wise. So,
oh, really?
I mean, it's gonna be the old mule car. He said when he retires, we'll get the hybrid, and then we'll use the Volvo as the mule.
Oh, sure.
So it's
on its way back from the moon now. It's got 240,000 miles on it or something?
The odometer right now reads 389.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, you're practically back from the moon.
That's why you put in, we're coming back from the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's obviously going for some kind of record with this. He's not going to stop it. He's not going to stop at 440,000 miles. He's going to go for Alpha Centauri next. He's going to try to go for a couple of light years.
Sure, why not?
Is he an engineer, this guy?
He's a rocket scientist. What can I tell you?
His train jumped the track. Yeah, the best thing you can hope for is a speedy demise for this car. But so that's why he wants the odometer fixed, because he wants to know, in fact, how far the thing has gone.
That is what he's mostly concerned about. He doesn't want to paint
of course,
the mileage
he
in
wants,
any way.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, this is serious. I didn't realize how serious this was.
How close is he to retiring?
7 years.
Oh, he's getting there.
You think we'll make it?
No. No. I don't think so.
I mean, he'll make it. His brain might not make it.
Oh, geez. Well, good luck, Trina.
All right.
And tell him to take it back to the guys who put the head in, because I think that's the problem. I
mean, it is.
Okay.
And there's a small chance that it's the cable, but I doubt it.
Okay, that sounds.
But the
like
cable's
great
cheap
advice,
enough,
you guys. I knew you could help.
I don't think you should take a chance, by the way, because in fact, if the cable breaks, then he's going to lose valuable miles in his pursuit of the record, whatever that may be. So
replace that with.
I think you might as well put a cable in it too.
Yeah, I'm with you,
just to be on the safe side.
Cover all the bases.
Let us know when you get back from the moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep us posted.
That'll be good.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from St. Paul.
With a K or a C?
With a K.
St. Paul.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, that's in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Like next door to Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yes.
What's going on, Mark?
Well, straight to the point. I want to know if a car can spontaneously start while sitting in a garage.
Ah!
You mean start up and run?
Start up and run. I'll give you a little background on how it came about.
Yeah.
I'm a police officer up here in St. Paul. And a lady had gone into her garage, found her car running, and thought somebody was stealing it. So she ran back into the house to call police.
Uh-huh.
When I got there, the car engine had been running. It was warm. And there was carbon monoxide. There was exhaust in the garage.
Yeah.
But all doors were locked. There's no key in the ignition.
No key in the ignition.
And she doesn't have a remote starter.
That she know. What kind of a car is this, by the way?
It's a 1998 Chevy Malibu.
Did she buy the car new, do you know?
That I don't know. I'm going to guess that she bought it used because she's a college student.
I'm going to guess it has a remote starter. So she said the car was running clearly and the key wasn't in the ignition.
Correct.
And how did she get? How did she shut it off?
She just shut the door and ran back into the house.
She didn't do anything.
Yeah, and so, I'm confused. When you got there, the car was still running? No.
It had probably just turned off, I'm going to guess, because when I opened up the door, it was not running anymore.
Well, I mean, we have to decide, is it technically possible for all of this to have happened? And if not, where's the other guy who did it all?
Right. Who's the person who's playing a trick on her? Or more, better than that.
Or maybe was in the process of stealing the car when she opened the door.
Well, that's what they thought, but it was a fresh snow.
No footprints
leading up to the garage except for hers, going up to the access door and leaving again.
Yep.
Does she now feel that she's in some kind of danger?
I don't think she does anymore. She did at first. She was scared to death.
She was scared that she needed police. She needed a strong policeman.
And in that case, she didn't get me.
Are you that type?
I am not the strong type. No, I'm the silent, sensitive type.
See, I think she may have a policeman thing going on.
Oh, you think she did it?
I think she did it.
Well, that was another question, but there was no snow inside of the garage. Could the cold weather have the effect at all?
I mean, there are times. I mean, we've had situations where in cold weather and other things, the starter can crank. But it won't start because the key's going to be on.
Right. In other words, you have to energize the ignition system, and it's not so easy in modern cars because you've got to turn the fuel pump on and, you know, you've got to supply current to the computer. A whole bunch of things, a bunch of conditions must be met for the car to start.
Sure.
So if you don't turn the key, you got to do a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
And I think that she bought this car used, and it has in it a remote starter that she doesn't know about. And, you know, the remote starter works with a transmitter. The little key fob thing is a transmitter, and you press the buttons on this thing, and you hold them down, and after a few seconds, you initiate this process where you basically energize the ignition, energize the fuel pump, energize the starter motor, and boom, the thing starts up.
Okay.
And I think she has that thing, except in the absence of the little transmitter, the thing just started up by itself.
Okay, so she may not even know she has it.
She may not even know. She has to take it to a shop and have them look under the dash to see if she has the receiver.
Okay.
And if she does, she can then go ahead and buy the transmitter. She'll have a remote starter, or she can have the thing, you know, at least disconnected so this can't happen again.
And if she doesn't have the remote start stuff, then she did it.
Then we need to look at psychological help, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think she's looking for the right officer to come to the house, and you were not he.
You were not the right guy, so she just shut the thing off.
Forget it. Oh, well, better luck next time, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Hey, listen. Listen carefully, because what's coming up next is going to require your utmost concentration.
Yeah?
Mental agility.
Yeah?
Mathematical skill.
Yeah?
And a working knowledge of fluid dynamics.
Ooh, sounds like a great puzzler.
Puzzler? I'm sending you to get coffee for the staff.
Oh, we'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new puzzler as soon as I get back with the coffees. Stay tuned.
My old car, she rattles over every little pothole. The inside's dusty and the outside's rusty and the back won't close. The windshield wipers flap around. The squeaky belt has got me down. She's a hunk of junk, but that suits me fine. Oh, my old car, she rattles when we go over 30 miles an hour. But it don't bother me that she's got no power. The mirror's scratched, the dashboard's cracked, the carpet's torn, and the wheels are worn. She's a hunk of junk, but that suits me fine.
And even though hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We're back.
Wake me up like that.
We're listening. We're not listening. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss, of course, cars, car repair, and of the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Which I guess would have to be mathematical in nature.
I love them.
You do?
I really do. Right. I don't get most of them, but I like them. They feel good, you know?
Just remember this. It only works if
no.
the number. You can't do it unless the number is two. Well, that's a hint.
That's a hint to the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Is it about mango trees?
Close.
Banana trees.
Here's the deal.
Potato trees. Why don't potatoes grow on trees?
I'm going to give you $1,001 bills.
$1,001. Oh, I know this puzzle.
Okay.
And you're going to give me a bunch of envelopes.
I'm not going to give you no stinking envelopes. It costs a penny a piece. Get your own damn envelope. I just gave you $1,000.
You can afford your own envelope.
You want everything?
Okay, you're going to give me $1,001 bills.
And you're going to come up with 10 envelopes.
What is that, Puzzler? Okay.
And your assignment is to figure out a way to configure those envelopes, i.e., to put various numbers of dollar bills in these different envelopes so that no matter what amount of money I ask you for, you can hand me some combination of envelopes
and
always be assured of giving me.
So if I say, give me $637, I can say, that would be envelope number one, envelope number six, and envelope number two.
There you go.
And here you go, $637.
Right. So no matter what number I ask for, between one and 1,000.
Yeah.
You'll be able to give me the appropriate envelope or envelopes. You like it?
I do. Now, and I'm not going to even mention it. I'm not going to say anything about it because I think I know how to do it.
Well,
and I don't want to give away any hints.
What? How is this different from any other puzzle I do? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a hand-carved Victorian-era white Italian marble fireplace mantle, 52 inches wide, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. By the way, we did receive, although it wasn't a yacht, we did receive some nice hats from the kind people at Hinckley.
Yeah.
Yachts.
I mean, I just assume
that the yacht is in the mail.
Well, I presume that the picture they sent us is the one they're sending us.
I think so. The yacht's in the mail. I've heard that before.
The yacht's in the mail.
Yeah.
And they sent us a couple of nice little keychains because I guess you need a key.
To start the yacht.
There were no keys on those keychains.
Yeah, that bothered me.
That troubled me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens with the Italian marble fireplace mantle.
There's always hope. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, you guys. This is Susie. I'm in Carlsbad.
Susie.
Carlsbad what?
California. Remember me, the one with the van again?
Well, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I made it back from Texas.
Wait. Is this Susie? Is this the Susie?
Susie,
yeah.
Se habla español, Susie?
Si.
What? Wait a minute. Have you been to Mexico and now you're back?
Yeah. Made an incredible trip there, but it ended up being by plane.
Right. For those of you who don't remember old Susie, I was just asking before the show, we haven't heard from Susie for weeks. Susie called us because she was leaving from Carlsbad. She was going to drive to Texas to pick up her daddy or her mommy or somebody.
Daddy.
Then she was going to drive to Mexico and drive across the entire country from the West Coast to the East. Is that right?
Right. And still someday I will.
And then she was going to drive back. And we've been talking to Susie for weeks now, asking how's she doing. The last time we talked, you were in Texas.
Right. And there was some sort of transmission problem. And it was going to cost a lot just to take it out and diagnose what the problem was. And so we decided, okay, just go ahead and replace it.
Wait a minute. I mean, didn't we advise you to forget about it and just keep driving?
Yeah, you did.
So what happened? What changed your mind?
Susie, well, you didn't trust us.
No.
Susie.
So if I remember, it was a whine that you had when you were stepping on the gas that went away when you decelerated.
Yeah, it wasn't the transmission.
Well, somehow, you know, first we drained the fluid, and then there was so many chips, you know, around the magnet, and you said, oh, yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
But I remember that.
I had, you know, on my way over there, I had all these different people drive the car because I really had no idea. So, like, in Odessa, I found a really nice Volkswagen mechanic who wasn't prepared to work on it, but he did listen and say, yeah, it sounds like the transmission.
Okay. So you talked to various people, including us, and you decided to believe all of them and not us, and you flew to Mexico. Is that it?
Yeah. And got to swim in the, you know, in the Great Caribbean. And
yeah.
So where is the van gone now?
Well, it's outside running with a little bit of a knock, and maybe you would be able to tell what that is.
Okay. So you had the transaxle replaced?
Yeah. Put in a factory rebuilt. To the tune of $2,800.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well.
So you're going to drag the phone out to the car?
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
I knew she was a wacko. Right from the first moment. Oh, nothing.
What, is this, you're on a cordless phone? Okay.
Okay. So can you hear this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Is that enough?
That's enough.
Okay.
Well, they didn't just start doing that, did it?
Well, I don't know. That's from the trip back from Texas.
Ah, okay. So this happened a little at a time.
I guess so.
And does the engine run smoothly? Does it have pretty good power?
Well,
not really. Yeah.
Okay, on acceleration, sometimes when you're just starting off, there's like this little lag. Like, okay,
I can appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, it has plenty of power.
Yeah.
At least
you can drive it at like 45, 50 miles an hour on a flat road.
Sure, 85.
80.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounds to me like you have a stuck valve or a collapsed lifter. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound that serious, but it's going to cost money to fix it. Maybe big money.
Really?
How many miles are on the engine?
Well, it's a new engine, and I don't know. It's like a couple year old engine.
Oh, it's a rebuilt, used engine.
Well, that, you know, that's the engine that Ronnie, the German mechanic, rebuilt.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to take this to him. I mean, this is not a job you're going to do yourself.
Okay.
This may require pulling the engine.
Oh, no. Really? Just from that sound, you think that?
It could be serious.
That's a horrible sound.
Sounds bad.
Huh.
Sounds bad. It's a good thing you didn't drive all the way to Mexico. You never would have made it.
No, you wouldn't have, actually, with that engine.
Uh-huh.
If that's what was waiting in the wings for you.
Okay.
And if you recall, initially, we tried to talk you out of the thing in general. And then we decided if you were nuts enough to do it, who were we?
If life was not just one little risk and excitement after another, what's life anyway? Sitting at home watching TV? No.
Well, thanks to you guys, I did get there. So you know,
you did go.
So some way, I think you're responsible.
And you got to an even wilder, less tamed place, Texas.
Yeah. Well, Susie, let us know what happens with this thing.
Okay.
But take it back to Ronnie, because this is definitely something that Ronnie might even feel responsible for.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Susie. Bye-bye. Welcome home.
Yeah.
Thank you much.
Safe and sound. Boy, are we relieved. See you later.
See, now, when she called and said she was from Carlsbad, California, I started to say, gee, you're the second person who's called us from Carlsbad, California in a couple of weeks. And it was... She's not. She's
and it
the
isn't.
First. She's the only person.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on what? Car Talk.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Steve in Chicago, formerly of East Arlington, Massachusetts.
We can tell by your accent, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So what's up, Steve? And how did you get to Chicago? And do you like it there? And why did you leave Arlington?
Oh,
all
man.
All those questions. Come on.
You never actually want to get to... Is this like a special 3 or 4 hour show?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah.
I got to Chicago for a career and a girl. I lost the girl, and I've given up on the career. So I'll come home now. Hey, the caller that I feel the most for was that, whatever, that 18-year-old girl or something who was totally depressed.
What, you want us to give her your number?
You made me spit my coffee all over the table.
So we see, so the romance is down the tube, the career's down the tube.
Ago. Wait.
When are you getting back?
No, I'm way beyond that.
Oh, good.
No, that was 10 years ago.
Oh.
That was 10 years ago. But the career I just gave up on this recently. Mm. But I do have ideas, but I can't tell it to you on the air.
No, we can talk about it later.
What, you have inventions?
Yeah. What's that?
You have inventions?
Actually, something better. I originally was going
crime.
I can't
if
tell
it's
you.
Not an invention, it's going to be a scam.
No.
That's the only thing that's better, because you don't have to make anything.
Right. I try to come up with inventions and stuff, but the
no,
problem
it's too
was,
hard.
I didn't know how to actually make
you
them.
Need a prototype. A scam, you don't need anything.
I had the ergonomic beach chair, but I couldn't figure out how the hell do you actually make it ergonomic?
Yeah, and how do you spell ergonomic? All right, let's get down to business here.
Okay.
What's up?
Oh. All right, I have an Acura Integra GSR.
What year?
It's 1996. Oh, and it's forest green, sort of. That could
gotcha.
Be important. You never know.
Okay.
I went to, a month or two ago, I went to a party in the suburbs. Two friends of mine, they eloped. And then they decided to have a party to celebrate it.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Went to this party, and they had this, like, designated lot. Said, strictly, you must park here if you're going to the clubhouse. That's what they call the party room or whatever it was in this sort of.
Got it.
Okay. By about midnight at this party, all the, you know, boring people with kids, they're gone. And
was that one group or was that two separate groups?
It's lots and lots of people, all their friends. It was a great time.
Yeah.
But 1 o'clock is when the party room's supposed to close, but Jerry had gotten like verbal permission. Never get verbal permission.
Yeah.
Verbal permission to have the party go later.
Yeah.
And so at about 2 o'clock, when people that were still there, somebody decided to leave. Went out, came back, said, "Hey guys, my car's been towed." We all went outside.
Mm-hmm.
Every car in the lot.
Gone.
Except mine. Were gone.
They didn't want yours.
Now, I was wondering, my car, front wheel drive, standard transmission, it was parked head in and in gear. You
that's
know, with the parking brake on.
That's why they didn't tow it.
That is why?
Yeah.
What they would have to do is get into the car with the Jimmy.
Okay.
And then put it into neutral.
Uh-huh.
And they obviously couldn't get in. Or they didn't have the Slim Jim with them.
Or they were coming. They had just gone
or
to get
they,
the Slim Jim,
when
and they were on their
up.
Way back.
They had done everybody else's car, saved mine for last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, if yours had been, for example, parked in the other way, backed in,
uh-huh.
they would have just lifted it up and rolled it away. But you can't tow a vehicle that's in gear, because you're going to drag the tires along the ground.
Right.
And you were in first gear?
Right.
They probably have learned the hard way. We had a puzzler about this ages ago.
Oh, wow.
That if you take an engine that has a timing belt and you make the engine turn backwards, which they would have done by towing you out if you were in first.
Uh-huh.
What would have happened is that as they pulled you, the wheels would have turned, but they would have turned and it's transmitted that energy to the engine, but it would have made the engine turn backwards because you were moving backwards, but the car was in what? A forward gear. And by doing so, it would have made the timing belt jump.
Right.
And it would have wrecked your engine. And they probably learned that from towing somebody else's Acura or maybe a Honda or whatever and getting sued. And it wasn't worth it. So they were going back to get the Slim Jim, and you just happened to come out right away. But the more important question is, how'd you make out at the party?
So to speak.
Not that kind of party.
Oh, it wasn't, because they were all boring.
Yeah, no.
All people
not everybody
with kids.
Was boring. It was all friends and
yeah.
stuff like that there.
Yeah.
So, although I did sort of scope it out.
Yeah, you got a few phone numbers, right?
you have to.
And you got to get some clue as to who's getting ready to break up with whom.
Right, like you that know. Seinfeld episode. Oh, yeah, I waited 3 years for that marriage to end.
Yeah, right. Well, Steve, we'll be looking forward to seeing you back here in the Boston area.
Okay.
All the reasons you went there are now
they're gone. They're defunct.
Hey. But how is Chicago in general?
In general, Chicago's a great place. And when I was doing my best, I came here to be an options trader. And when I was doing my best and making a lot of money, I was about to enact a lifestyle where I maybe spent 8 months here, but a couple months in Boston area. And
a couple of months in Bahamas.
Yeah, exactly.
No, St. John.
Yeah.
Virgin Islands.
St. Croix.
St. Croix.
St. Croix's all right.
Same thing.
Because I have a friend there, but.
Female friend?
No, actually male
friend.
Just checking,
okay.
And he's married. Beautiful wife. I'm waiting that one out, too. No. But Chicago is a great place.
See,
thanks for calling, Steve.
When you get to Boston, call us. We'll go for coffee.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He'll give us some hot tips on options.
Okay, he's got all his options open. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Daly Perotti, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Bastille smoked seal, braised veal, and candied eel happy meal is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our staff ethicist is Morley Krupt. Our payroll supervisor is Titus Canby. Our marine weather forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our staff dietitian is Diana Unger. Our tolerance quality control guy is
Diana Unger. I got it.
Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowshoeing mimes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1303, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, things get what?
Ugly.
Right. And believe me, my brother knows ugly. We asked you to nominate the ugliest cars made today, and some of the nominees make even my brother's cars look good.
Really?
No. That's a theoretical impossibility. But now we need you to declare a winner. What's the ugliest car now in production? See the centerfolds and vote now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR nurse looks both ways, then hangs a do not resuscitate sign on our studio door whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.